I am Gary Kalib. In the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, says concerning Philip and the eunuch, that when the eunuch had heard the word of God, said he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, he commanded the chariot to stand still, Philip did, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And the Bible says further, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. You know, the instruction in this account is so plain that it's not possible for us ever, I suppose, to fail to understand it. You know, if it was very difficult language, maybe we couldn't, but it's not. And if we're responsible people, if we can read plain English language, we'll understand what this says, won't we? And we can understand what he did, and if that's the Lord's will, then it's what we must do also. I would be willing to go to the judgment of Jehovah with the declaration on my lips, with that sentiment of my heart, that God himself could not have made it plainer than he has made it right here. And this shows, my friends, his goodness, his mercy, his love, as well as his grace, and the wisdom and the skill that he has given to us as intelligent human beings to understand what he wants us to see. You know, God is the supreme sovereign of all things, as has the oversight of this conversion, doesn't he? He employed his agents, cooperating with him, the angel of the Lord, and then this inspired evangelist, thus practically bringing heaven and earth together. And when the inspired evangelist had done as that which God had told him to do, then we find him directed to go to this chariot, to do what the teaching that was needed to this man through the Holy Spirit's teaching. Hence, God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the divine three, of, in, and from heaven, brought together the inspired evangelist and the man who was to be saved, stayed with them until the work was done, that is, till Philip preached Christ to the Ethiopian officer, till he believed in Christ and obeyed the gospel. Now, if he preached Christ and the Word of God and preached Jesus, then he had to preach baptism or this man wouldn't have known to ask for it. But the Spirit of the Lord then removes Philip from that field of labor, and this Ethiopian eunuch goes back to his home, rejoicing in the forgiveness of his sins. Let me ask you something just here. What foundation does he have for his hope? You know, he had done what, as and all, the Lord directed him to do, to become a Christian. He knew, therefore, God being true and not being able to lie, that he was a Christian. He was happy, and that was no evidence, of course, that he was a Christian, but it certainly was a result of his becoming a Christian. You know, the divine assurance that he was a Christian made him happy, didn't it? He knew what the Bible taught, what the Lord taught, what these inspired men taught, and when he did that, then he had every assurance that he was a child of God. Don't we have the same? Well, of course we do. You know, he had been taught by divine authority that he obeyed the gospel, he would thus become a child of God. So he obeyed the gospel, and hence the divine assurance, my friends, that he was a Christian. Therefore, he had the divine right to be happy, and he went on his way rejoicing. You know, to smile with contempt at this account is to be displeased with it or to turn away from it, to ignore it, as some people do. Is fearful, it's awful, it's terrible, and it's dreadful. God himself perfected this case. And it is a terrible thing to think of those in extreme desire to go against what God says, for them to ignore it or to reject it or ridicule it or despise it. Nevertheless, my friends, thousands who claim to be on their journey to God's eternal home seem to deliberately and habitually do these very things. May the Lord have mercy on them. Do you say, my friends, that you cannot understand from this account, revealed by the Spirit, which one was baptized, Philip or the eunuch? You know, if you're honest, it's not necessary for you to understand anything. The merciful Lord will take care of you if you can't understand this. But when nothing is given, nothing is required. And if you're not sincere, my friends, remember, you're ridiculing divinity here. You're not just saying something to me or to some other man, but it's not humanity you're talking against. When you talk that way, you're talking against divinity. Do you say, Christ went up into a mountain, but not into a hole in the ground where water was to be baptized? Zacchaeus climbed up into a tree, but not into the hollow of the trunk of the tree to be baptized? Hence, you do not believe, Philip. And you do not believe what the eunuch did in going down into the water and being baptized, I suppose. Well, there are those who reject the very will of God in these things. What a sad thing it is. Now, the age of miracles have passed, and until the house is completed, the temporary scaffolding, of course, around it was useful, and these things confirmed the Word of God which they gave to us. But when all was done, and the last of that had been done that God desired, then, of course, all the scaffolding was removed. There are no more miracles today, but the Word has been confirmed, and we have it. So it served its purpose in these miracles, but His revelation not being complete, God sent the angel here to cause conversion of the Ethiopian treasure. Now, He does not do that today. He simply sends the Word of God, and of course it is written now so that we may all understand it. And when one does hear the gospel and he believes it with all of his heart, he repents of his sins and confesses the name of Christ and is baptized, then he has every assurance from the Holy Spirit through the Word that he is forgiven, that he is a Christian, that he has been added by the Lord to the church. You know, it has prevented many precious souls from enjoying this blissful blessing of heaven, that part of heaven here at any rate in Christianity, and the hope of everlasting life, because men have not believed the Bible. Certainly conversion is not and never has been a miracle, as some men teach, but God in times past sometimes wrought miracles to cause conversion, as in the case that we read here. But the part performed by the angel of the Lord, though, was also the part performed by the Spirit. That was miraculous, of course. These two miracles bring Philip the preacher to the man to be converted, and they bring them together. But when they are brought together, Philip taught the unsaved man the plain, simple truth that we still teach today, just as we have it revealed to us in the New Testament, and thus he turned him, converted him from Judaism to Christianity, buried him in the waters of baptism, and raised him up to walk in newness of life. My friends, God is no respecter of persons. Before the New Testament was written, he did what was necessary to fill the place it now fills, to do the work that it now does. And we have this account simply told, have God's will completely revealed, don't we? We can read it, we can hear it, we can hear it read, and if we will, we can obey it. And if there is any question or any doubt that arises in our mind, we can read it again, or we can hear it read again. And the oftener we read it or hear it, then the more we rejoice, because if we properly appreciate it, therefore live as it directs, we will have the blessings that it affords. You know, those who love the truth rejoice to hear it. I never get tired of the plan of salvation. I know some people say they do, but I don't know how they could when it's the hope of man. It is the blood-stained banner of the cross that we're upholding so that all men may be saved. Those who know it best seem to hear it most, don't they? And they want to know, and others to know, the will of God. The Ethiopian officer went on his way rejoicing because of the divine assurance that he is now a child of God. The Lord instructed him through the truth to do certain things to become his child. He did those things, and hence he could say, I am saved from my past sins. I've been divinely taught. If I live the Christian life, a pure, chaste, clean, consistent life, till my temporal life here shall cease, I shall be eternally saved. Well, how does he know this? Well, it is by the revealed will of God, isn't it? You know, by the grace of God, he says, I can live the life, and I dwell in the palace one day beyond the things that I now see in that royalty of heaven itself. But beyond the service of this life and beyond the palaces built by men, there is a palace built by the Lord, isn't there? Jesus said in John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I shall return again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There is a city, isn't there? Which hath foundation, says the Hebrew letter, whose builder and maker is God. Beyond the struggles of this life, where God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit are, and where the redeemed are, to be kings and priests with God around his throne. Where our joy shall never cease, where sorrow shall never come again. I am in Christ. I believe in Him. I trust in Him. I love Him. I am restored and resolved to live to the Christian life. So then, whether I die before I reach my earthly home, or live 40, 50, 60, 70 years, when done with this life, whenever it is, I shall be done with all troubles, and I shall go home to live with my Savior and all the redeemed of all the earth, and my God forever. Well, no wonder this man says he rejoiced in the forgiveness of his sins. We may all have this joy, though, if we will. Let those who have not done so obey the gospel today. Then let us trust in God for the promises and do that which is right to the end of our days. He says in Revelation 2:10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." So, my friends, here we have learned in our study this week what one must do in order to be saved. Isn't it wonderful to have the Bible, the book divine? The Bible says, by Paul's words, prove all things, hold fast that which is good.